Okay. Yeah, so we have one overlap from last week, so I will at least have to summarize where we are. Okay, so we were on the bottom of your testament base. So I will reread the Gemara here. It's very short, but I won't reread all the sources, but I'll catch you up to where we are. So the Gemara and the two dots, the wide lines at the bottom. So, well, right before that, right? The Mishnah had said, "Ve'yotze ba mishum simcha, ve'noyotze ba mishum chagiga." If you bring a voluntary korban, so you fulfill your mitzvah of simcha, because the mitzvah of simcha, as we've seen, is simply to eat meat which is kodesh, which is a korban, but not to bring a unique korban, but not the chagiga. The chagiga is a unique korban you have to bring for the chag. So the Gemara says, "Pshita, isn't that obvious?" That you can't fulfill your obligation of the chagiga with a carbon that you already promised for something else. It's something that's obligatory. And anything which is obligatory must come from chulin, right? Which we'll see what that means exactly, but needs to come from, at this moment, we'll say, something which you weren't already obligated to bring. Right? You can't kill two birds with one stone. If you have one obligation, fulfill that obligation. Don't try to combine two obligations. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha d'afagav deparish." So the Gemara answers, "No." The novelty here is that even if you said, "I promise I'm going to bring this voluntary carbon on condition that it also acts as my carbon chagiga," that also doesn't work. Where Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, "If I say I'm going to bring a voluntary carbon and I'm going to use it to fulfill my chagiga, or harini nazir vagaleach mimaos meiser sheni, or I will be a nazir, but the carbonos I have to bring when I finish my naziris will be from money which is meiser sheni, how does that work?" Amar lei nadur, he is bound by his promise. Veino yotze, but he cannot fulfill. He can't kill two birds with one stone. Nazir veino megaleach, he is a nazir, but he can't use the carbon, or he can't use the money from meiser sheni for the carbon. Okay, so the rule I wanted to analyze was this rule of kol davar shebechova in bal min alchulin. Just to summarize where we are. So basically, Rav Lichtenstein, he often would have shirim, where what he would do is he would take a phrase, and the entire shir would be unpacking every word in that phrase. You haven't missed anything. You were here last week, so you know where we are so far. Yeah, okay. So so the way he would start this shir would be like this, right? The rule. Kol davar shebechova ein bayo menachulin has several parts. The first one, kol davar shebechova, anything which is obligatory. So the first question he would ask is, okay, kol davar shebechova, does that really mean everything? Right? Or the context of our Gemara is karbanos. Does it mean everything within the subcategory of karbanos? And why would you say X and why would you say Y? Then he would say, okay, ein ba'a. Can't be brought. Now, ein can mean one of two things. Cannot be brought or should not be brought. Meaning, you can't do it, and if you do, it doesn't work, and you have to bring a second carbon, or you shouldn't do it, but if you did, it would work. And then, min hachulin literally means from things which are not sanctified. But the context here is from things you aren't obligated in. But what would be if you had something which was fully yours, right, wasn't pre-promised as a karban or pre-promised for a mitzvah, but was not chulin, was in fact holy, just happened to be yours. For example, truma. Right, a kohen using truma for something he's obligated in is fully his money, but it's technically kadosh. Right, it's not. Right, so that's what he would do. He would say, right, what does this rule mean? Right, does it apply to karbanos or everything? Does ein ba'a mean you can't or shouldn't? And minachulin, does that mean literally from something which is not sanctified, which is not consecrated? Or is it standing in, because we're talking about karbanos, which is something which hasn't been pre-promised as a karban? Okay, so we started last week with really just the first question. Kol davar shebechova. How expansive is kol davar? So the Gemara in 1, which I won't reread, is the source for this rule of kol davar shebechova. The Mishnah had said this, right? Minayin la'omer harei la'itodus lo'yavi el menachulin talmud lomer v'zavachta pesach la'ashem elokecha tzonu v'akar. And then the Gemara brings a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, which pasuk you should prove this rule from. But what's important for our purposes is that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva provide a pasuk for this rule of kol davar shebechova, and they either learn it from Pesach, right, from Karban Pesach, or they learn it from Chatas, right, both of which are Karbanos. So if we now come to our first question of kol davar, how expansive is that? So I would say, on the one hand, all the evidence in the Gemara talks about Karbanos, right? Our Gemara says you can't bring a chagiga from a something that you promised to be a Karban. The source here is that a Chatas or a Pesach has to be brought from a non-pre-promised Karban. So on the one hand, you would say, okay, well, maybe kol davar means only Karbanos, right? Kol davar doesn't mean everything, it means Karbanos. The problem with saying that it only means Karbanos is, okay, well, that might make sense in the sense that there is a Gzeres HaKasuv that refers to Karbanos. But if I asked you intuitively, what is the logic behind saying you can't kill two birds with one stone, right? You can't fulfill a mitzvah with something you already promised for a mitzvah, right? Why would that be? If you didn't know there was a pasuk, right? Why would you say that logically? Because
you can't do two mitzvahs.
Right, you can't do two, right? Yeah. You already promised, right? As the Gemara will say at the end, right? Vehikriv Aharon is parachadas asher lo mishalo. Right, you have to bring it from your own, right? You can't say, oh, I already have money, which is God's, so I'll just use it to do another mitzvah. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's a svara, right? It's logical. You can't, right? If you owe money, so you can't say, okay, I owe Alan $50 and I owe Alan $50, right? So instead of, you know, paying twice $50, right, I'll take the same money and I'll give it to you and I'll ask you to pass it over to him and that will, you know, kill two birds with one stone. I technically gave it to both, right? It doesn't work, right? I have two separate obligations. Well, here too, I owe a Karban Toda because I promised it, and I own a Chagiga because that's the Chiyuv. So, which is it? So, there are some people who insist that it is Gzeres HaKasuv, that it only applies to Karbanos. The problem with saying it only applies to Karbanos is that in number four, the Gemara has a discussion. I'll summarize it outside, but the Gemara there says that the obligation of kibud av v'em is that you have to be machil or mashkeh, right? You have to support your parents. But the Gemara asks, mishel mi, whose money does it have to be, right? You have to like provide for your parents, like you have to feed them if they need to be fed. But whose money? Or do you also have to pay for the grocery bill, or only you have to help them eat if that's what they need, and you have to help them get dressed if that's what they need, but you don't have to buy it. So the Gemara concludes that it's Michel Av, that the Chi of Kibbut Avim is to respect your parents, to help them eat, help them drink, help them take care of them, but you don't actually have to spend your own money. You shouldn't, the Gemara concludes, you shouldn't use the money of Tzedakah, right? Let's say your father is poor because it's not a nice thing to do, but technically you could, right? Technically you could. And the Gemara says, and if you wanted, you could, you know, you could combine Tzedakah money with your own money to get more for your father. Even that, the Gemara says, not the best thing in the world, but technically it works. But the reason it works is because you're not obligated to pay for your father's support, right? The only reason it's only not a nice thing to do and not actually usher is because the Gemara assumes kibud av v'em is not a financial mitzvah. But if it were a financial mitzvah, the Gemara says, obviously you couldn't use Tzedakah for kibud av v'em. Those are two separate mitzvahs. So here you have a Gemara which the implication is any mitzvah which implies a monetary obligation you can't use a different monetary obligation to fulfill it, right? I can't, if the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim was pay for your parents' food, then I couldn't take Tzedakah money and pay for my parents' food because I'd be killing two birds with one stone. So how can people argue that this is only about Karbanos? So we had suggested two different directions last week. One was from Rabbi Clapper, when I was talking to him over the summer. He said maybe, really, the rule of kol davar shebechova applies to all mitzvos. So then why do we have a Gzeres HaKasuv that seems to tell us that it's only karbanos has to be brought from money that belongs to you? So he said very simply, it makes sense that if the obligation was to pay for your parents' food, you couldn't take tzedakah and kill two birds with one stone. That makes sense. Because you owe money to the poor people and you owe money to your father, so to speak. But karbanos, you could have thought that, look, where do karbanos go? God. God doesn't need anything, right? So who cares? So I killed one, right? I owe a carbon to him, so I fulfill 10 obligations with it. God, what's he doing with the carbon? Right? All he wants you to do is bring a carbon, right? He wants to show, see devotion. What does he care if you give him 1, 2, 10 carbonos? So you could have thought that maybe when it comes to carbonos, it's not a big deal to fulfill multiple obligations at one time, because what difference does it make to God? Kamash malon, the pasuk tells you it's not true. Once you've promised something to God, you have to bring that separately. Every other mitzvah, right, where it's about people, it is intuitive. I can't take the money I owe to the poor people and use it for kibbut avim, because I owe that to the poor people, and I have a different obligation for kibbut avim. That didn't work. So that was, right, that should try. So that was one possibility. The other possibility was the direction taken in Apar days. I didn't put it, I just put a line noting it. From Rav Simcha Elberg, who I don't know who that is, but in Apar days 5, he argues that no, Kol Davar Shebechova isn't all mitzvos. He has to admit that it's more than just karbanos. But he says it's only mitzvos, what he calls sheyesh bohem ritzui, where the goal of them is to ingratiate yourself with God. Because he said, look, karbanos, if the point of bringing a karban is to improve my connection with God, then you can't do that by saying, here, how many different things can I do with that same animal, right? If you're trying to give a present and show devotion, then you should show devotion rather than cut corners. Because it's staka has an element of that also, where, right, staka tatsal mimaves, and, you know, aser bishvil titit asher, right, bring meiser so that you will become rich, right? There are these hints in the Gemara that staka is also like that. It's a way of currying favor with God. So he said, maybe it's only those types of mitzvos.
He's saying, Jargon, every mitzvah is a way of currying favor with
God. What? Well, yeah, that's what you could have said. I don't really know why he draws the line stuck. I mean, yes. I know why he does. He draws it because he has two pieces of evidence that he needs to deal with, right? Carbonos and staka. So what is he supposed to do? Fine.
He was ahead of the OU.
There you go. What you can figure out.
In 1915.
There you go. Now I know who he is. Okay. Fine. So, what we were up to last week, though, was examining the position of the Maharil. The Maharil, in number 3, takes the opposite approach. And based on the Gemara and Kiddushin, he says, no, Kol Davar Shebechova means all mitzvos, all mitzvos. And therefore, he says, and this is Nifsak LaHalacha and the Magen Avraham, that if you have Meiser money, and you have Matanos LaEvyonim, you can't use Meiser money to pay for Matanos LaEvyonim, because you have two obligations. Yeah, and what? On Purim. Right? Because Kol Davar Shebechova in Ba'am Menachulen. Now, in number 5, however, the Maharil was asked a different question. Now, this is where we were. The Maharil was asked, okay, what if a woman promised that she was going to go visit the Kivrei Tzadikim or Kvarim of her relatives in Regensburg, and she just tarries and she doesn't go, and then it turns out she needs to go anyways. She has to go for business. She has to go to visit friends, and she goes. And while she's there, she goes to the Beis HaKvaros. So he was asked, is that enough? Or does the fact that she promised, I'm going to the cemetery in Regensburg, mean that she has to make a special trip to Regensburg to visit the cemetery?
It's a very strange analogy.
It's a very strange analogy, right? This is where we were last week. And he says she doesn't have to. There's not a problem. Because he said, why? She didn't say, I'm going to make a special trip. She said, I'm going to go to the cemetery in Regensburg. And then he says a second point.
So
he
is
says,
it on the neder or on
what?
What's it on? Is it on the visiting or is it on the neder?
So he's
saying, I'm going to go visit. Like, what is...
Assumes, he said, if she said... So then he says, if she promised, I'm going to spend money to get to Regensburg.
Right.
So then she would have to make a separate trip because then she's saving the money of the, whatever, the train. But if she just said, I'm going to get there. So who cares if she gets there? Don't care if she's doing something else while she's there. Big deal. He said, and then he says the same thing is true. If someone promises, I'm going to fast for the next 10 days.
Okay,
let's say, or next 15 days. Make it easy, right? And it happens to be the 29th of Elul, right? So next 15 days include two fast days, right? It's a Seres Me'etshuva. I'm going to write and whatever I fast, like the Gaonim that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
So he was asked, okay, do you have to fast now 17 days? Because you promised 15 days, and you were already obligated in Tzom Gedalim Yom Kippur. And he said, nah. Because when you said, I'm going to fast for 15 days, you said, I'm going to cause myself pain by fasting for 15 days.
Some would argue you're already obligated for all of us, Aseret Shemitah.
Right, there are people who had that minhag to fast every day of Aseret Shemitah. There are all types of minhagim to fast 2 days of Yom Kippur, right? All types of minhagim that existed.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea to fast 2 days of Yom Kippur. The Gemara says it's dangerous to your health, but many of the Hasidic Ashkenaz did anyways, and according to the Radbaz, that's how the Riva died. He fasted 2 days. The doctors told him, you'll die. He said, no, I won't. And then he died. Right? That was whatever. Okay. I think it was the Riva. Brilliant. Yes. It was bad. It was a bad idea. The lesson was not to copy him. It was just the reality.
Right.
Fine. So Shulchan Aruch Paskens like that second one about the fast days. Now, some of the Achronim don't like this. Some of the Achronim say, no, I really like the idea that Kol Davar Shebechovah means literally every mitzvah in the Torah. So if you look at the Birkei Yosef, the Dvar Shmuel in 7 and 8, they say that, yeah, we don't even agree about the fast day thing. Right? Even the fast day thing, you've got to add to the fasts. Because any time you have any obligation, you can't kill two birds with one stone. Every obligation obligates you separately. Period. End of story, no exceptions. But the Maharil is what we were trying to analyze. The Maharil seems to have a middle position, where on the one hand he says that staka and matanos lev yonim, you can't kill two birds with one stone, because that is a problem of kol davar shebechovah. But the fast day, right, if I say I'm going to fast for 15 days, and two of those days happen to be Tzom Gedalim Yom Kippur, that's fine. If I say I'm going to go to Regensburg to visit the cemetery, even if I happen to be going for another reason, that's also fine. So the question then is, okay, well, what does that tell us? What type of mitzvahs go under Kol Davar Shebechovah and what mitzvahs don't? So I think here, what the Maharil is getting at, and he sort of says this, right, in number 5.
Okay, but those two cases aren't mitzvahs. In other words, it's a neder. There's no real mitzvah to the kever.
Right, but it's true, but the neder is still similar to the... Right, the voluntary karba, the toga.
The whole kibud av aim extends beyond life.
Well, also, remember, we're talking about the karban nedava also, which is a mitzvah in the sense that now you said you were going to bring a karban. It's not a...
No,
right?
But korban toda is something that's in the
Torah.
It says to give.
But the Maharil says that if you promise to spend money to go to the cemetery, it would apply. Right? Kol davar shebechovah would apply. You'd have to make a separate trip. Right? Right, that is right. If you look at number 5, third line, he says, "Vaday nader lahotzi mos lo nafka." Right, if she had said, "I'll spend money to get to the cemetery," it wouldn't work. Because here she'd been hired to go to Regensburg. Someone else paid it. She just said she was going to go.
So it's something to do with the neder.
Right. So what does it sound like? What it sounds like?
You give a carbon. You sort of.
Right, so I think what it is, right, it's the giving, right? It's what he seems to be saying is it applies to not all mitzvot. It's all mitzvot which have a, for lack of a better word, right, a debt component to it, right? That seems to be what it is, right? He's saying, if I said I would spend money to get to the cemetery, so then I can't, you know, hitch a ride because I said I was going to spend money. But if I said I'm going to go there, so I didn't obligate me to, I didn't create a debt. I said I have to do something, but I didn't create a debt.
I think you can just say it's technical. He's saying you're fulfilling it, you have to fulfill it.
Right, you have
and
to...
So the money, you have to spend money, and with the going, you're going. That's nothing to do with what you're doing something else. You said you're going. You didn't say I'm going only for this and I'm not going for something else, right?
Right, or the one by the Tainus, right, where he says, why does it work to double up on the fast days? Because I only said I was going to fast for 15 days, caused myself pain. Meaning, I didn't really create, so to speak, a debt of fasting for 15 days. Because if I did, so I owe 15 days plus Yom Kippur and Tzom Gedaliah. Right, but I didn't do that. I said I'm going to fast for the next 15 days. I didn't create an obligation. I didn't make a debt. I just said this is what I'm going
to
do.
So if I said I'm going to fast for 15 days this year, then I wouldn't be able to use...
Maybe, right? If I said I would, right, if I accept, right, if I said I'm going to, right, if I said I'm going to accept 15 new fast days, then obviously you couldn't, right, because you've created a debt, right? But if I say I'm going to fast for the next 15 days, right, that means I'm going to fast the next 15 days. Who cares what's in it? I didn't create a debt. I'm saying, right? So What the Maharil seems to be saying, which is actually sort of intuitive, right, is if the problem with kol davar shebechol vein ba'al me'achulin is whenever I have a debt, I can't use two debts. I can't cancel two debts at once. So he says, okay, if I say I'm going to do something but didn't incur a debt, so okay, so it didn't incur a debt, so I can do two things at once. I said I was going to visit the Beis HaKfaros in Regensburg. I did. How did I get there? Did I spend money? Who said I was going to spend money? I didn't create a debt. I just said I'm going
to
do it.
If I say I'm going to spend money to get there and I get it.
And then she said, and then you get a ride.
And I get a ride.
So he said, then it doesn't work. Right? That's exactly what he says. Then it doesn't work.
So
right?
It's
right? Right, he's being technical. Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying, call Dover Shabakova is any time I have a debt of any sort, right? Of any.
Why should I take a plane trip to go to Regensburg, right? If I get a free flight.
Because he said something. You were going to spend
right, because you said.
But
it's a netter.
I understand, but
Gerard's asking a question.
He didn't say I'm going to get there.
Not going for business. It's just a free ride. So you're saying even a free ride is not.
Well, right. It depends how you formulate it, right? That's what. No, that's what she got. Right? She said so. Someone else hired her.
Air Canada,
someone else paid the ticket.
If you said I'm going to spend money on expense,
but that's a net. The money to Stockton.
But
that doesn't.
Right, but that wasn't your promise. That's exactly the point. In the end of the day, it wasn't the debt. But at the end of the day, it's not what you said.
But let me ask you a question. I mean, the issue of korbanos.
You could, then you shouldn't have made this problem.
Is basically interloping of mitzvahs together, like
right.
Combining mitzvahs, appropriating one action to accomplish two mitzvahs, right? Presumably, that's what's involved. In the case of the Maharil that he's giving, whether it be she's basically going for business. Or in the case of a fast, that you just take on some other fast. Is there a mitzvah involved in either of those cases?
I mean, there's some sort of mitzvah, right? There's the assumption here.
It's fulfilling your promise.
Is
that a mitzvah?
I mean, it is, right?
If I make a...
Kol mitzvah sosechot, right? Tishmor vasisa, right? Everything you promise, you have to fulfill. That is a mitzvah.
So if I make a mitzvah that I say that I'm going to take a trip to Vietnam.
It's a mitzvah.
I make a netter.
Right, so it's a mitzvah fulfilling your netter.
That's a mitzvah?
Of sorts, yeah. Right?
No problem with the train trip that David pointed out last week. It doesn't not at all comparable to the two carbonos because you have one carbon and it's another carbon. Going from that business trip is not
correct
in any way a mitzvah whatsoever.
Right.
You don't have two conflicting mitzvahs.
Right. The fast day is the right which
but
he equates
to. It to a fast
right. The fast day, but he's saying it's the same thing. Right. He's assuming they're the same thing.
That's the thing.
You didn't have to. Right. You could have said they're different. Right now, that was what David asked last week. Is even though the Birkei Yosef and the Rav Shmuel argue on the fasting one, would they argue on the Regensburg one? That I'm not sure of, right? Because you could say that those are different. You could say the fast is some sort of mitzvah, tshuva-y mitzvah thing. So maybe you could say there, I have to fast the extra 2 days. But the going to Regensburg is not a mitzvah at all, right? So yeah, that was what David said last week. It might be true. I don't know because the Birkei Yosef and the Rav Shmuel don't explicitly address that case. But
it's a strange analogy.
Yeah, he clearly sees some sort of mitzvah. You could have argued technically that going to the basic bars is not really a mitzvah in the same way. So, but
not the basic bars issue. It's really the business trip.
The business trip rather. Right, but he doesn't seem to. For some reason, he sees this all as equivalent. Right, you could have distinguished. Right, you could have said no.
Right.
I mean, you could have taken his assumption. Yeah, all mitzvahs. I can't double up on mitzvahs, but. Right, there's no reason why. Right, if my work says I want you to go to Israel, right, because we have an office in Israel, I want you to go for a few days. Right, there's no reason you shouldn't take advantage of that, and daven at the Kotel or whatever. Right, I mean there's some sort of intuition that's okay. Right, so yes.
And if this Regensburg was really the case, then you'd have a problem not whether you bring the same animal for two karbanos, but let's say I brought the Chagiga, and I wanted to bring another carbon while I was there, I'd have to go home.
Only depending on how you formulated your
right.
If I said I'm going to something like that, but
okay. So just as a crazy example, if you dug dirt in order to prepare for a kfura and used that dirt at the same time to cover blood from a shechita,
so that's actually a more complicated case because the Gemara is a dinam hazmana, right? Because now you've dedicated to a dead person. Right, and the Gemara is all Shailav has mana milsa here or not?
No, I'm digging. I'm preparing it, so I'm taking it out. So I have.
No, they could do that. I mean, but you're planning putting it back in. You're planning on putting it back in.
Well, no, I'm covering the blood with it. So, am I able to be yotzei 2 minutes?
Presumably, right? I would assume.
So that's one action, two mitzvahs.
Right, again, but it's right. I mean, presumably there has to be a right, somewhere there has to be a limit to this, yeah, right?
The other example we gave last week was the perfect example is Chaz of a Shok, which have an obligation to give a coin, to buy a coin some money.
Right, obviously that I couldn't do, right? I couldn't pay off my debt to a coin, the Chaz of a Shok, right? Because I owed him money, right? That would be a good example where we all intuitively know that you can't do that. But yeah, I assume there must be some gvul. And again, I think the it might be this question of debt, right? Is this a debt-like mitzvah, right, or not? Or just, you know, a commitment. If it's a commitment, so why not, you know, overlap with something? Or something like that. But at any rate, what we have is we have this range, right? We have the people who are convinced that it only applies to karbanos and karbanot-like mitzvahs. Those who think it applies to, like, all mitzvahs. And then, then the Maharil, which seems to be
non-mitzvahs.
Somewhere in the middle, you know, mitzvahs, but, like, debt-related things. Yeah. Right, mitzvos, not quasi mitzvos. Okay, here I gave just two examples of people who also expanded here, 9 and 11. The Pnei Yeshua, we'll see, we'll come back to it. Thinks that it is only about karbanos, we're going to come back to that. But just two examples of poskim who apply this in other places. So this is 9 is an interesting one, right? Just to see how this type of thing plays out halacha l'maisa. So Ramosha was asked, and then I'll tell you an interesting psak from Shlomo Miller, which is really quite surprising, but. Someone in one of my shiurim told me this one. So anyways, Ramosha says as follows. Hine, b'davarim rashai l'shalim schar limun abanos b'beis asever shenekul b'beis Yaakov mimaos meiser. Right? Are you allowed to use your meiser money to pay for your daughter's education in Beis Yaakov? Right? So what are the complicating factors that Ramosha is going to have to deal with? Right, is it a chiyuv to teach your daughter? Right, because sons, he could say, is very simple. Sons, you have a separate chiyuv to teach your children.
So you can't give maaser.
So you can't give maaser, right? That's easy. But what about daughters? Right?
Is it stucker?
Right. Is that stucca to support your daughter? That was the question. So he says...
If it's a religious Zionist school?
Yeah. Or whatever, Rachman Allah. Well, that's a different, you know.
Is Meister money today a chiyuv midin
rest? No, the we pass going to Bach, it's a minag. But it's a chiyuv midin minag. So whatever that means. So he says, Vada yesh chilk ben banim levanos midina de lomon mikra ha'chayev ha'avla mid levanav ha'pischar. He said, first of all, boys... Right, you could obviously you have to pay money even to teach your sons. So that's obvious. Like he assumes kol davar shebechova at least applies to tztaka, and since you have to pay for your sons' educations, you can't use tztaka money. That's obvious to him. Aval lebanos, what about daughters? You don't have to teach them Torah. Hare ein ze davar shebechova. So therefore, it's not obligatory. So then, right, what you're arguing, right, he's talking to this guy, he's saying, what you clearly want me to say is, you don't have to educate your daughters, right, Medina de Gemara, so I should be able to use my miser money to pay for my daughter's education. It's just staka.
I love his answer.
He says, no. He said, but here... We're obligated by law to send our kids to school.
He's a Jewish custom. He basically says we're obligated by
government. Right, he says government. Government tells us we have to teach our kids. Uvechaste Hashem Yisbarach al Yisrael, ika rishus lelamdam vatei sefer, shetachas hanal Yisrael, ksherim v'yirei Hashem shenimtza. And he says, and it's a gift of God that when the government said you have to educate your kids, they allowed you not to send them to public schools and allowed you to send them to from schools. Right, they had to set, right? They were forced. And there's all the shilas in the German poskim about we're going on Shabbos and how do you deal, right?
Right.
He said, because Hashem, no one tells us that you can't even send to the from schools. So, but what does that mean? If you don't send your daughter to a good from school, you'll have to send them to a public school. Right? There's no Torah, there's no emuna, there's no nothing. And he says, you may not be obligated to teach your daughter Torah technically. Right? He's not a modern Orthodox posuk. He's not saying, go teach your girls Gemara. Right? This is Ramosha Feinstein. Right? He has a tshuva where he says that's usur. We know that. But he said, still, you have to educate your daughters to keep the Torah, to fear God. And he says, Both so is mamon. Umemelo davar shebechova. Where he said, Right? It's one of these like amazingly expansive arguments, right? It's the government says you have to send to school, and the other option is not an option, right? So mimela, you have to send them to the frum school, and once you have to send them to the frum school, it's obligatory because of the government, right?
Some, it also says Baha'i size.
No, so right, even
teach,
for money.
To teach secular studies?
What?
I mean, the government requirement is to teach a secular studies.
Well, yeah, so this is... So let me finish your motion, and I'm going to tell you Shlomo Miller's psalm, because this blew me away. So he said, okay. He said, "Upasha lefinis daiti ba'af bischar mechuyev bein levenu bein labanan." And to me, it's obvious you have to teach your children, even if it costs you money. V'nimtzah shugamke davar shebechovishin rachay likach mimoz meiser v'tzarach iyun lashan sharetzion avol meisa masharoy lefi parnasasa l'shalim zeh ina rachay likach mikesav meiser v'mavachim yoser yachol likach hamoser mikesav meiser v'zeu gam tzar limud debanim. So Ramosha says, so it's obvious to me you have to spend whatever money you can. But then he puts a caveat at the end. He says if you can't afford it, right? So now it's stuck, right? They're going to give you a tuition break. So you have two choices. Either, right, don't pay it, right? I assume that's what's going on in his head, right? Don't pay it or pay what you can't afford from Meister. He said that you can do, and that I think you can do for your boys also. Right? So that's Ramosha's conclusion, right?
So you can't pay for Meister money if you can't afford it.
If you can't, right. So Ramosha's conclusion is whatever you can afford, even while paying Meister, you owe, because you have to educate your children. What you can afford, both your boys and your girls, you can use Meiser because, right, you're supporting the institution, right? You're, right, it's better, right? You can't really afford this money, right? But the institution needs the money also, so, right? I'm elaborating here, but a little bit.
You just said.
If you reverse it, and you have,
it's a bit of an expansive and not so clear software.
If you have not put the money aside yet for Staka, when you spend it on the tuition, that is Staka, though.
Assuming you wouldn't be able to afford the tuition otherwise, right? That's his argument, right? Meaning, he's saying if my Meiser money, right, let's make it easy. I have one kid, right? And I make, you know, $100,000 a year. And so my you know, whatever, leaving out all the complication of taxes. I make $100,000, which is Meiserable, okay? So now I owe $10,000 in Meiser, and tuition is $12,000, right? And I, between all my right, so if I can afford the extra $2,000, okay. No, sorry, if I can afford $22,000,
I'm just trying to understand the case.
Is right, so case no, saying? So Ramosha says is if I can afford $22,000, then I'm chuyav. If I can't, right, then I can use the $10,000 from Meiser towards right towards the tuition.
But the tuition is not tzedakah.
Right, it's not tzedakah. It's that
chov.
It's a chov. What I'm assuming Ramosha is thinking is that if I can't afford it, and therefore I'm going to need a tuition break, so then mimeila I'm going to get the break, so I don't, right, I'll waive the debt, so that, right, I assume he's having some sort of cheshbon like that, right? If at some point I can't afford it, it's some combination of that, plus the fact that Meiser bizman is as a minhag. I assume all that is going on in his head, right? And that's why he's coming to the conclusion that he's coming to, which is saying, if you can afford it, great. If you can't afford it, right, then we'll talk. But that's Ramosha's, so... You see that Ramosha is using the language of Kol Davar Shebechovah. Again, I don't know how technically he's using it because Meiser is a minhag, right? Because of the Bach, right? Meiser is as a minhag, and he has this caveat at the end that if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Okay, whatever. But that's Ramosha's argument. Now, what Shlomo Miller said, which was very surprising, was so apparently Pesach Goldman told me this. So they were having a question answered by Rabbi Miller. So they asked him, "Can you use your Meiser money for?" For Talmud Torah, and he said no, right? Because he said, Ramosha, you're mechuyev to educate your children, so it's a separate obligation, so you can't use your Meiser money. Okay, so then they said, well, okay, what about college? Right, what about university? Can you spend stock of money to send to university? And he said, well, yes, because your kid is 18, it's mamash staka, right? You're not obligated to support your 18-year-old child. The kol hadeos, right? At that point, right, if you're supporting him, it's out of the chesed, you know, it's at the goodness of your heart. And what's the highest level of staka according to the Rambam? To teach someone how to be self-sufficient, right? So you're teaching someone who can't afford university, right? Who can't afford education, how to stand on his own 2 feet. So that you can use, right? That you can use Meiser money for, right? So they said. So right, Pesach Goldman said, he told Rav Miller, he said, I can't wait for it to get out. Then Ray Miller says, you can't use your Meiser money for Talmud Torah, but you can't to send your kids to university. But that was his logic, right? That, right, because one of them fits the rubric of Tzedakah, the other one doesn't, right? One is an independent chiyuv, and the other one isn't, right?
But you can use your Meiser money to pay your grandchildren's tuition.
I would say, yeah, probably. Well, I don't know, actually, I don't know. Because grandchildren, you have some sort of chiyuv also.
You may have a chiyuv there, too.
I don't know. And again, you see even with Ramosha, it's a little bit amorphous, right? But anyways, that was what I thought was an interesting psak from Amy Miller. There's an internal logic to it. I'm not totally sure. I wasn't there, so I'm not really sure what he does with the fact you're also obligated to teach your kid for a parnasa. It's something to do with him already being an adult, I think. But
doesn't he say you shouldn't send your children?
What?
Somebody said, I learned this before, that the secular you're allowed to...
Right, so the secular, I think he said the same thing, right? The secular component, and this is what Philip is getting at, is the same thing, right? That the secular component, I think I heard that from him also. This time... But right, which makes sense, right? It's the same logic, right? The Talmud Torah is a separate. But the problem is there. You also are chayv to teach him in Omnus. I'm not really sure, but
that's what Moshe is saying. You're chayv to send him to school.
Right. So Ramosha wouldn't take this. Ramosha doesn't accept this, right? Kanyireh.
They should have asked specifically about why you.
let's not get controversial.
Because doesn't he hold you can't send your children to university.
Well, yeah, that's what I didn't understand. I didn't understand all the details here, but fine.
Maybe it wasn't university.
Maybe it was vocational school. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was
right.
Whatever it was, Talpiot. It was. I don't know. Whatever it was. It was whatever. Whatever exactly he said.
In New Jersey.
Fine. I've not been in Toronto long enough that I know the ins and outs of Shlomo Miller's philosophy of life. But I thought this was an interesting psak. Okay. Fine. The Shur Beis Yehuda in 11 had another case, which is a little bit interesting. He says, "Nistapek marach neiru b'misha ragol likros mezach Shabbos v'chol yom Shabbos v'achach nadal likros yudches pirkei mishnah ala seder b'chol yom." Said there was a guy who used to always learn all of Masech HaShabbos Mishnayos on Shabbos, and then he made a promise that he was going to learn 18 Prakim Mishnayos every day. The Irlo Shalimid Yudches Prakim Balo Lumod Biyom Shabbos Bechavdal Prakim Shal Shabbos Im Olim Lo Lakano Lakano Lo. And then in his order, he gets up to Masech HaShabbos, which is his minag to learn anyways. So does he have to learn, right? Right? Does he now have to learn the 24 Prakim Masech HaShabbos plus another 18, right? So 42 Prakim. So he says, nearly davar pashut imzakorei mem korei imzakor Shabbos b'chol Shabbos einu b'kabbalas haneder regilus b'alma. He said, that's fine, right? Because he said, if you promise I'm going to learn Shabbos every Shabbos, and then you said I'm going to learn another 18 prakim mishnayos, then you have to learn 42. But he said, that's not what happened. You learn every Shabbos. Happened to me Masechta Shabbos. You didn't make a, right? You didn't create a debt. I'm going to learn Masechta Shabbos and I'm going to learn another 18. You learn Shabbos and you said you were going to learn 18. They know the Rosh Hashanah. Pshita, the Yotzi, Bekreta Shabbos, Machmas, Neder, Ayud, Ches, Prakim, Da, Maya, Rotza, Loya, Lo, Masechta Shabbos, Chol Shabbos, because he said if you wanted to,
so it's not a...
Right.
Yeah, he's like, it's not like, so like, yeah, I mean, you could have formulated that you couldn't do it. If I said, I'm going to learn 24, I'm going to learn the 24 Prakim Masechta Shabbos every Shabbos. And then you said, I'm going to make a neder, I'm going to learn 18 unique Prakim that's not Masechta Shabbos every day. Then sure, you'd have to do 42, but you didn't say that. You said, I'm going to learn 18 Prakim every day. Shabbos, you always learn Shabbos. Okay, big deal. But in theory, he said it could have overlapped, right? Depending on how you formulated the neder. Realistically, again, and you see, it's the same type of logic of the Maharil, right? It depends.
You didn't say Shabbos thing isn't there at all.
Right, is that you there that you just do, right? I mean, what's implication is if I had formulated in the right way, it would be usher. But what he's saying is it's similar to the Maharil, right? There has to be a line somewhere, right? Like there actually has to be like an obligation, two obligations you're fulfilling.
Right. Or two nadarim.
Or two nadarim or two something, right? There has to be something that's overlapping, not just like two like something nice I happen to do and a neder, right? You can do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fine. So that's question one, right? Kol davar shebechovah, how expansive? Is it everything? Is it just karbanos and the
it's
like?
Really everything.
Right. So the way we paskin. Correct. So the way we paskin seems to be basically everything that can be construed as a debt. Right. That seems to be the way the poskim and taking it, which is what I think the Maharil is getting at. Because yes, being the Rosh is talking about meiser, which is a minag. Right, Bisman has said we pass on like the Bach.
Or going to basic kvaros,
I promise to learn Masechta Shabbos, right? But the poskim seem to take it in the literally in the kol davar sense, right? With the caveat that it's only things which can be construed as a debt, right?
Not as a debt, maybe as an obligation.
As an obligation, I'm using debt loosely because of chova, but yes, as an as a concrete obligation, not like awesome. Right. Okay, so that's one. So, question two. Kol davar shebichulin. Okay, so what does chulin mean? So, in all of these Gemaras, what does chulin mean? So far it's meant, in the Gemaras, not in the post-gim, karbanos, right? I can't double up on karbanos, or the way it is in the Gemara in Chagiga is Meiser Sheni. Right, if you look in number 2, well, this we didn't see last time, I ended up skipping it, but if you look at the other Gemara, Meiser Sheni, about Meiser Sheni rather, in Chagiga, Gemara says as follows, Amar Mar, Beisil Omrim Min HaMeiser. Beisil says you're allowed to bring your Karban Chagiga from Meiser money, Meiser Sheni meaning. Because Meiser Sheni, you're allowed to redeem, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and buy food with it. So you can buy animals. So you can use those animals for the Karban. Gemara says, how? Amai, Davar Shebecholbu, V'chol Davar Shebecholbu, in buy Elam Min HaChulin. So Amar Ula Bitofel. So it's only Bitofel, meaning I buy a, well, we'll see what it means, but it means I bought the carbon with non-Meiser Sheni money, and then I added to the carbon with Meiser Sheni money, meaning I bought a bigger carbon with the extra money from Meiser Sheni. So that you can do. So how do you do that? So there's two ways of doing that. One is called Toflin Behema LeBehema, and one is called Toflin Moz. Right? Now what's the difference between them? Right, so toflin ma'os means that toflin mehema lemehema, I might mix this up, right? Toflin ma'os means that I buy one animal, I had $50 for the carbon, and I put another $50 for Meiser, and I get a $100 animal. That's toflin ma'os lemo's. Toflin behema lemehema is I bring a second carbon, right? I bring an extra animal from the Meiser money. So which one... Right, when we say tofel, you can add from Meiser, which one is it? So then the Gemara is a machlokas. Chizki amar toflin behema lebehema ve'ein toflin ma'os lemo'os. Rabbi Yochanan amar toflin ma'os lemo'os ve'ein toflin behema lebehema. Right, so you have a machlokas which one it is. Right, is it better to buy a bigger carbon because then you have one? Right, you don't have a separate carbon. Right, which is all Meiser Sheni. You have right one bigger carbon. Right, or is it that it's better to have one big carbon? Really the logic is, right, if you have two separate carbonos, so one of them is pure chova and one of them is pure Meiser Sheni, right? One is chagiga, one is pure Meiser Sheni. If you have one big animal, so that animal itself has a mixture, but on the other hand, you've gotten a nicer animal out of it, right? So which is better? So the Gemara brings that machlokas to Tanin Kavasi. The Chizki, Tanin Kavasi, Rabbi Yochanan, there's a bright side, like each of them, the Gemara, right, brings that. Right? The Tanin Kavasi, Rabbi Yochanan, Masas, Mamachan, maybe Chovaso, Mena Chulin, that you have to bring your obligations from Chulin, and we nine, Shem Rasal, Arev, Marev, how do you know if you want to mix the money and you can? Tanin Kavasi, Mamachan, maybe Chovaso, Mena Chulin, and we nine, Shem Rasal, Arev, Tani kavazi chizkiyam masas mamashad maybe chovaso menachulin beishami omrim yorishon menachulin mikan vayelach mina meiser shalomrim achila rishon menachulin mikan vayelach mina meiser. So you have a brisa like each of them. One of them says you can add an extra carbon to your promise, and the other one says you can just buy a bigger animal for the carbon with the money. Okay, we won't get into the details of that machlokas, but what's clear in the context of the Gemara is that. The Gemara in Beitza and in Menachos says what is not chova, or anything which is not a karbon. And the one in Chagiga about the Meiser Sheni is anything which is not Meiser Sheni. Which means that before we get into the Rishonin that we've seen, simply looking at the Gemara, when I say what does chulin mean, it has two possibilities. Either it's something which is not already pre-promised, or literally something which is not holy. Right, chulin, like chulin lumat kachim, because both Meiser Sheni and Karbanos are holy. They're not just things you owe to God, they're also things which are actually holy. But what would happen if you would split it? Right, and that's the Truma case. You have something which is holy, but you own it entirely. Right? Can a Kohen take Truma and use it to pay off his debt? Right, or pay off his mitzvah or whatever? Or Shemitah, can you take Shemitah produce and use it to bring a mincha, right? It's yours, right? You're allowed to take Shemitah things to eat, right? Okay, you can't bring it as a mincha, whatever. Use it for, come up with your chol, for matzah, right? For matzah, right? Can you use Shemitah food for matzah, right? It's a mitzvah, but it's kadosh. So when we say the word chulin, do we literally mean chulin? Or do we mean no? As we've been saying, kol davar shebechova means don't kill two obligations with, right? At one time, which means don't take something that you was already owed to something else. But if it happens to be holy, but it's yours, so you can use it. So that is also in Machlokas Acharnim. So you look at
Are we talking b'dieved or are we talking?
We haven't gotten to that. That's the third thing. That's the ein ba. That's the last one. So this is machlokas achronim. So you look at one. Okay, whatever. The one between 11 and 12, which is numbered 1. I don't know how that happened, but fine. Yeah. Fine. The Mikdash David, Kachim Lamed Gimel says, Be'ikr zed, didavar shebechol ve'inobal menachulun ve'inobal menamayser. Yesh ladun. Right? He just asked the question. I'etam mishum kedusha. Is it holiness? Diladavar shebechol ve'inan chulun mamish. Is that whenever you have something holy, you need something which is not holy. And therefore you couldn't use truma for karbanos. Or is it because anything which you're obligated to bring, you have to bring separately from other things which you have to bring? And therefore truma, which you don't have to bring anywhere, it's yours, it's just kadosh, it would be mutter. So he concludes, ach b'pshuto hu mishum ha-kedusha. He thinks it's about kedusha. Right? Now, this, by the way, could be an answer to the question we had before. Right? We asked before, on the one hand, the Gemara says clearly that there's a gzeir zakaz of b'kol davar shebechova. On the other hand, the Gemara assumes, in the case of kivud ava'im, that there's a parallel svara that you can't kill two debts, right, with one payment. Well, it could be that, well, it depends, right? It could be that karbanos has two halachos. One is you can't fulfill two obligations at one time. But kajim is a special deris hakasuv, which isn't obvious, which is kol davar shebechova in ba'el menachulin in the not sanctified sense. Right? We saw that it's logical to say you can't fulfill two obligations at once. It's not necessarily logical that you can't take something which is fully yours and just happens to be holy and use it for another holy purpose. That's not obvious. Why not? It's mine. Maybe, according to Mikdash David, that's what the deris hakasuv is telling you, that for karbanos, it has to actually be not holy. But at any rate, he raises the suffix. He thinks... He's not sure, but he thinks that it's about Kedusha. In 12, the Horus Nassan brings a summary of this and says, no, that's not true. He says the majority position, as we've seen, is that the logic behind Kol Davar Shebechova is that if I owe something, I can't fulfill my obligation with something else I owe. That has nothing to do with holy. If something is holy, but it belongs to me, so Gazun Dehet, use it for another obligation. And he brings a bunch of shitos in both directions. If you just look at 12, he says, Hine, Tshuva's Maharil, right? The Maharil that we've looked at. Seems clearly that it's not about Kedusha, it's about obligation. Ukein zekaz b'shalah. The shalah says the same thing. V'huvu b'ksar b'magan afram. V'hine, hatam ha-sheni, d'davar shebechov ein bayin ha-melechulin. He says, why? Because what's the reason that you can't bring it from, unless it's chulin? V'adelo shayach b'peru shvias. Right? It obviously doesn't apply to shvias, right? To shmita things which are holy. Why? Dari b'Rashi psachim diber matzvah in yotzeba kasa lefarish hadadavar sheish b'chovein ba'el menachulin. When Rashi is explaining the rule, he says klomar mishelo. The rule is bring from your own stuff. V'lo mashihu mechuyav ve'omeid. Not what you already have to bring. Kein zeba Rambam. The Rambam says the same thing. She'ena nechasim ban la'olam el menachulin. That when you bring libations, it has to be from Chulin, Lefishin Emar Bohenvi, Kriv HaMakriv, Korban, no. Because it says you have to bring your Karban, which means Achiyeh Mishelo. It has to be yours. Velo Yetzad Gavah Akal. Doesn't already belong to God. Okay, and Zebem Iri. The Miri says the same thing. Vechein Sarach Ataleda. Shekol Dover Shebechovein Ba'enam Elachulin. Klomar, what's the rule? Kol Karban She'etilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ala Adam. Anything that God obligated you in. Hein Lekapara Al-Chait. Shechata is to atone for a sin. Hein Lehavi Bizman Yadua, to bring it at a specific time. Ein Rashai Lefroa Mimas Rosef. So you can't pay it off from Maiser. Omi mashik far nadar, what you already promised, but nadar mitzad acher, or promised for some other reason. Deheich yifras chovo b'mashu zakuk lavio mitzad acher. How can you pay off your debt with something you already owed? Mivuar, so you see from the Meiri, from Rashi, from the Rambam. Dehad davar shebechovein ba'al menachulin hainu taima, that the reason for this whole halacha is mishum shena yachol afroa es chovo midavar shebelavach yuchayv liten. That you can't pay off a debt with something you had to bring anyways. And
so you couldn't use maser sheni, but you could use truma.
Exactly. Right, and then if you look after the ellipsis, to skip down, right, it says, "V'ein chisaron b'mashe yishbo kedusha," and therefore, there is no lack if it happens to be holy. It doesn't matter if it's holy, as long as it's not God's. Hare peir shvias, so shmita, or truma, eino mamon gavoa klal, doesn't belong to God. It belongs to you. It just happens to be holy. Imkei gishenosin mehem matanos lev yonim, omishloch manos, hare yu nosin, mishalo, v'shapar yatsa. He said, right, going back to Maril, you can't use miser money for matanos lev yonim, but you can use truma, right? If a poor Kohen comes to the Kohen's door, so give him truma.
So why do we need a pasuk for this?
So that's always the question, right? So it could be that maybe, right, either by karbonos there's two halachos, or what we said at the beginning, that maybe karbonos it wasn't obvious, right?
But he's saying you could...
Right, so he thinks it is obvious, right. And then you're back at the original, and right. So you might have to come up with some sort of attenuated version, or that the pasuk is teaching us that even karbanot are obligations in that sense, right? You wouldn't have known that intuitively. Again, I had that problem because it sounds like it's a real gzeres hakasuv.
Right.
Yeah, you know. On the other hand, the Rishonim think it's a svara, even when they're talking the gzeres hakasuv. So I'm not really sure. Right, I leave that as sort of a question. Again, it could be, like Rabbi Klapper said, that the pasuk is just telling you that what you thought was true originally is true, and don't think that karbanos are different. They're not, right? They actually are obligations, and you wouldn't have known that.
Okay, but based on the Gemara and the Chagiga, it means that you can't use 100% of your maser for that, but you could use a portion...
Correct, and that is actually how we paskin by Matanos Levyonim. The continuation of the Maharil, now we're going to have a problem, is yeah, that the way we paskin is that you have to give, let's say, the minimum, right, the enough to buy the Suda from your own money. But yeah, if someone comes to your house on Purim, you give him however much money it costs to buy his Suda, $10, I don't know. Right? But you want him to have a fancy Suda, so you give him $50. The $40 is going to come from Meitzer. So yes, Toflin, Meitzer, and Meitzer, we paskin also in the Matanos Levyonim case, right? That you give the basic.
But you don't need that to solve your theory.
Correct. That's exactly the point, right? Because the extra $40 you don't need is parallel to Toflin, Meitzer, and Meitzer, that you're allowed to add to the carbon, right? You have to pay your own money, and then you can add to make it nicer. So the same thing is true Matanos Levyonim, right? If on Purim you want to do that, you want to take your Meitzer money. You want to say, look, here's $100 I'm going to give to Matanos Levyonim, I'm going to give each person $10 from this, and here's $500 that I owe to Meiser, so I'll give each person $50, right, and $500 will be my Meiser money, $100 will be Matanos Levyonim. You can do that.
Then you could use your Meiser money to send your daughter to a better school.
Maybe, right, maybe, right, or...
Like the Princeton or something.
maybe, right? I don't know. Maybe.
As long as it's not a big
deal. I don't know.
Not you're allowed to do anything.
Right. No, but maybe you could do it to...
Took elementary school, let's say, right?
Right.
To a more expensive one.
A more expensive elementary school or an elementary school that needs help balancing its budget, right? Like, they need... Right, you think it's a school that's suffering and, you know, it has a higher tuition because it needs... You know, you come up with cases, you know, where you could do something like that. Okay. But if you look at Vav, he quotes the Pnei Yeshua. But he says, "Re'izi b'shul Pnei Yeshua b'davar amutel l'shalom yimalos ma'aser seni makom sheish takana be'ir shemachuyev liknos." Mitzvah b'shana b'schum mitzriyam. He was asked, "Are you allowed to use ma'aser money to pay?" There's a takana in the city that you have to pay a certain amount of money for mitzvos, right? For whatever, like communal stuff. He says the cause of the lack of mishum davar shebechol vein ba'al menachon. He said, "Yeah, you can." Dizen emarak bekarbanos dasa mikra. Well, it's stuck on Mati Vilakan, right? So I said the Pnei Yeshua, he limits it to only karbanos, but why? It says va'od man lemal and dafilo karbanos ein lavim mimos meiser shalanu. And he says furthermore, and so first he tells you he paskins it's only karbanos against everything else we've seen. Then he goes farther and he says even a karban could be brought from our meiser. Because who says our miser you can't use for a carbon? Hello, Mo's miser shalanu, chulin gemurim heim. Right? So the Pnei Yeshua takes the extreme. Kol davar means only carbonos, and chulin means chulin mamish. So even carbonos can be brought from miser money, as long as it's not miser sheni, because miser sheni is kadosh, but miser rishon, or miser ani, or miser ksafim, right? You could, because big deal. Right? The only thing you're not allowed to do is take holy miser and use it for karbanos. Everything else in the world is mutter, right? So presumably, according to him, you can use miser money for matanos levyonim, right?
Certainly not from Kedusha.
kedusha, right? Because he's not dealing
with. Right, and you can use kedusha for tzedakah, right? You can use truma for tzedakah, right? He said both ways is fine. The only thing which, right, he ends up saying the gzeiras ha'kasev is double. It's only karbanos and it's only holy things. It's not other mitzvos and it's not holy things which you're obligated in, right? He rejects all of this, right, and comes down hard on the gzeiras ha'kasev extreme. On the other side. And then he goes through a whole Dina, but that's the Pnei Yeshua, right? Where he comes down on the other side. Okay. In Zion, the Haras Nazar is finished, and we call Makam Yisladin Lasar Lashlachmanos Matan Zavionim, Pershvias, Mishum Dinesinus Mishlachmanos Matan Zavionim, Chovos Ninida, Ika Lav Chiv Chachamim, Lita and Matanos Halalovim, Ken, Kishinos, and Pershvias, Nimsa Shepare Chovim, Pershvias, the Asr Mishum, Laach Lav Lalaschara. At the end, just to, this is not our sugya, but it is a halach l'mais issue. In the end, he's not sure you're actually allowed to use shmita food for maiser, for matanos lavenim or mishloach manos, but not because of kol davar shebechovah, but because of a separate thing, that there's a halacha, you aren't allowed to do business with shmita. And anytime you have an obligation, using shmita may be called business, right? Because I'm paying off my mitzvah debt. Right, so it's not a kol davar shebechovah problem,
it's a shmita problem.
Right, it's a shmita problem. Right, so that's just the halachic thing, right? This is not for now, it's not our sugya. So just to know that la halacha, he ends up asering it, not for the reason that we're talking about, but for totally for shmita svara.
So the question is, let's say you did, you may be over something to do with shmita, what would you be owed, say, if it was the karma?
That's the next
thing. Right, so that's the last thing. So I think it's 9:32, so you have to get to Marav. So we're going to stop here. The last thing, you'll see it's short, what we're doing next. The last unit here is the last question, right? So to summarize, we've seen kol davar, right? So what is it? So the Pnei Yeshua thinks it's only karbanos and only kodesh. The Maharil seems to think it's all mitzvos, bar as long as they have some debt component. And then you have the Rishon, the Acharonim, who think it's basically all mitzvos. And then we saw the Talmud Torah discussions and all the interesting things there. Second question, shebichulin, is it things that you owe, or is it things which are not holy, right? So the Lahoras Nassan points out that the simple logic is it's things which you owe. That's what Rashi says. That's what Meiri says, that the Rambam says. But the Mikdash David in the Pnei Yeshua thinks it's Kodesh. And therefore, even if it's something you owe, it's fine as long as it's not Kodesh. The last question, which we'll do next time, is the question, okay, well, what if you did it? Eino ba'a. Does that mean you can't or you shouldn't? We'll finish with that, which is fine, because the next Makara sheet, I already prepared it, I know what it is very, very short. It's just on this language thing at the end, on the top of your test, the Eino Yotze Nazir, right? It's a short Makara sheet, so we'll be able to finish both up next week, and then move on.